the CFPB implemented numerous regulations upon lenders and servicers. In addition to more reporting requirements, a borrower's debt-to-income ratio was not to exceed 43%. If so, it would no longer be considered a qualified mortgage. This later became known as the qualified mortgage rule. Now, this was very problematic for small and community banks. It literally threw their bread and butter character and relationship element out the door, while also preventing responsible borrowers like small business owners and retirees from obtaining the credit they deserved and had been accustomed to getting. Now, with the shift to a more economically driven administration in Congress in 2016, there was a lot of emphasis placed on changing this qualified mortgage rule. In 2018, President Trump signed the Economic Growth, Regulatory Relief, and Consumer Protection Act into law. This made changes aimed at reducing the regulatory burden on banks with less than $10 billion in assets, including the qualified mortgage rule. This act also increased the asset threshold that banks must pass before being subject to certain regulations and oversight. Previously, Dodd-Frank had set the threshold at $50 billion. So anything above that amount deemed the banks too big to fail. Well, now this $50 billion was increased fivefold to $250 billion in assets, which, as you can imagine, only a small handful of industry giants like J.P. Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, and Bank of America would even exceed. As a result, all banks below this $250 billion threshold would be exempt from the stress test conducted by the Federal Reserve. So I know we're just a few slides in, but it is Friday afternoon, so it's time for a brief movie break.
Greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Greed is right. Greed works. Greed clarifies, cuts through, and captures the essence of the evolutionary spirit. Greed, in all of its forms, greed for life, for money, for love, knowledge, has marked the upward surge of mankind, and greed, you mark my words, will not only save Teldar Paper, but that other malfunctioning corporation called the USA. Thank you very much.
Lessons learned from the financial crisis. Now, with all due respect to Mr. Gecko, one of the greatest movie characters of all time, in my opinion, greed is actually one of the deadly sins and is not good. Like, not good at all, really. Without a doubt, the best example of too big to fail. The bailout of Wall Street banks and other financial institutions during the mortgage crisis. From the collapse of Lehman Brothers, Congress passed legislation which authorized the government to purchase distressed assets to stabilize the financial system. So this too big to fail theory was the exact same justification lawmakers used to substantiate passage of Dodd-Frank and the creation of CFPB. Then you've got ninja loans in the secondary market. Ninja loans are a commonly used nickname for subprime mortgages created around this period, deriving from no income, no job, implying that in essence, anyone could be approved for a loan without backup documentation. Now you couple these shady lending tactics with the bundling and selling of these loans through mortgage-backed securities, fueled by greed and people like Mr. Gecko, and you've got a ticking time bomb. Other banks bought insurance against those mortgages, creating a house of cards built on a foundation of homebuyers who had no business owning a home in the first place. So what now? Well, for most Americans, a home is their most valuable asset. With millions of Americans stuck in the overnight capsizing of the financial landscape simply due to COVID, common sense dictates payments on these assets could very much become an issue, and they sure did. That's exactly what happened and continues to take place. So this forced mortgage servicers to come up with a solution on a whim. Enter loss mitigation. Now, loss mitigation is the process of trying to protect homeowners from foreclosure. It refers to any one of several strategies that could be used to assist a homeowner in retaining their home. We're going to cover each of these strategies and see how they're playing out during this pandemic. And we're going to start with the number one option being used by Americans right now, and that's forbearance. Now, forbearance is a temporary postponement of payments, typically 90 or 180 days, aimed at helping borrowers with some type of short-term temporary hardship, like a job loss. Now, it doesn't erase the amount owed, as everything ultimately must be repaid. And just so you can get an idea, as of late August, 4 million Americans were in forbearance plans, which represents over 7% of all active mortgages. So a lot of people are doing this. And forbearance is far more complicated than it sounds, primarily because there's no one-size-fits-all approach. Why is it so complicated? Well, the options vary not only by loan type, but also investor. And Congress knew this with the passage of CARES, as when they passed the CARES Act, borrowers with federally backed mortgages were provided additional protections and options than those who had privately held mortgages.